It's 11:35 on Saturday morning. This is Lee Cohen here with my guest and co-host, Rick Pruse from Pruse Pets in Old Town in Lansing. Rick, one of the things that we need to talk about is really how the pet industry has changed overall over time. What trends have you seen in the 20, 25 years you've been in the business? Have you seen new categories of pets become more popular, some become less popular? I mean, what's happened in the industry and why do you think that's happened?
Yeah, as any industry, it's hard to even refer to the pet industry as a pet industry because it's so mechanical if you use the word industry. But we really are working with, where is the consciousness of the public? And then it's kind of a dance, and we have to be the following partner. You know, the first and foremost part of having a good relationship with the pet community is to really know where they're at. And over the years, it's changed. We had back there as an example in the fish community, it was a hobby of like focused, a very limited number of people that were really focused at like breeding fish and being this, focusing on the details of how to breed an animal and how to raise it and little social networks that they would, societies that they would work with. And to some extent, that's a very healthy part of the industry. But it's what it is today, for the most part, in the aquarium industry, is to really understand that our lives have become a more stressful, a more cold environment, that we don't have the same social network around us, and we use pets as part of that social networking, that kind of emotional connection. And so our role is to just make sure that they can have that aquarium that they can sit down in their living room and de-stress with without having problems. So it's become, and that rule applies in all of the various areas or departments or animal disciplines that we have in the bird department. My wife's done a very fantastic job of kind of following the footsteps of what's really best for the pet and what's very best for the pet owner in looking at the toys that the bird needs, what does a bird do in the wild? And then, these captive raised birds that never had seen the wild still have some basic instincts. How do we plug into those basic instincts using the right toys, the right type of cage materials, the right type of open perched areas? Doesn't matter what the area is, it kind of reminds me of the veterinary, it kind of reminds me of the zoo community. And what do you think of back when you're a young child of a zoo? Lee, at your age, okay, it was a different scenario than it is today when you were a young child, because you're probably not much different than my age. And when you were looking at a zoo back then, it was an animal in a cage. Right. And today, the public wouldn't even want to show up at a zoo. And that's why I say it's like a it's like a dance routine here that we have to play. And we have to play the follow-up lead. I mean, when the consumers want to do the right thing with their pets, they want to have the right social environment for them. Our job is to really provide that kind of social fabric that animal can live in. So whether it's a hamster cage or a turtle environment, that's where the industry's changed quite a bit. That because the public consciousness has had. So we have a few stars to put on the foreheads of individuals. Let's tip our cap to individuals that the general populace, and then let's just emulate that. But that's where the populace is. I think overall, I think we're a much better society of pet keepers. Obviously, in this show, we're going to bring out some of those situations where it's not obvious that somebody didn't quite get the program. What the Chihuahua situation as an example, but I think overall, I think we have a lot to look forward to.
Right. Rick, one of the things that I've noticed is because of the recession, as we were talking about in an earlier segment, a lot of people have been forced to abandon their pet ownership because of the cost of keeping the animals, feeding the animals, and maintaining them. How has the recession really affected people's choice and what they're doing with their pets? Are you seeing where people are gravitating to reptiles or other animals that might be a little less expensive to maintain? I mean, how does the economy affect the pet care industry as a whole?
Well, it's a companion animal industry. And you have to remember that during the slow times, the difficult times, the recession times, just like when you hear, you know, stories on the news about how the fabric of the community kind of welds together during these hard times, even if it may not involve around spending money. I think in the pet community, we have some fortune because, you know, what we find is that people look into what's important to them, and pet keeping is important to them. But so long as they have the financial wherewithal, I'm finding that those individuals, if anything, think twice, but also think more thoughtfully about what's going on with their animal. It does become a more introspective period in our in what we do, how we do it. That being said, thank God for places like the Humane Society and other help groups and outreaches. That's what I really find exciting about this show, is that we're going to be able to kind of like foster up some support for these safety nets. You know, we talk about being a green society, a green community. Well, there's nothing more important than recycling the pets that otherwise wouldn't have a helpful home. That's truly an unfortunate situation when we're in a position where we're actually discarding those true emotional pets, those companion animals. So overall, I think in our business, it hasn't helped to go through a bad reception, but it has had a good chance for us to reflect the way we do things, core values, what we do, how we do it, and the customer as well. And I think there will always be an opportunity for us to serve the public, irregardless of the condition of the economy, because we are catered around companion animals.
Rick, have the manufacturers, the products that you carry in your store, I would imagine that a big part of the expense of maintaining an animal is, again, feeding them bones for dogs and playthings for cats and things like that. Have the manufacturers responded to the economy by offering lower priced options or smaller packaging of things so that people can figure out a way to maintain? I mean, how plugged in are the manufacturers in the pet arena to what's going on in the real world?
Yeah, actually the dog and cat department, when I talk to in the industry, the most vibrant part of our trade, if we talk about it as the pet industry, is the dog and cat area. Fish, reptiles, birds, as a national trend, have not been as strong as the dog and cat area. And so actually, I would say as far as being focused on the financials end, I think that the consumer tends to migrate. Those that really need to economize do find places to shop that might be more economy oriented. I do find that shops that cater towards the value of the pet and really having a perfect or better pet experience may have some value minded in mind, like for instance selling things by the item instead of by the quantity, or like you said, have taken advantage of they're a hard time for even dog manufacturers and cat manufacturers, in spite of that fact that this is not necessarily taking the hit that you would think, but you're seeing some value driven pricing on pet products. And I think what happens is it's a really good opportunity for a company that has maybe a better value for their product. Once the public no longer can afford the more expensive option, they try to find the same value in that product, but maybe in a different brand. And so we see some brand switching, but our role is to try to figure out if people are going to do some brand switching, you know, what is truly a better value and what is something that may get themselves into trouble. So that's kind of where we're at.
Are you seeing, though, where people are evolving into, you said reptiles are not doing as well. Candidly, when I was young, I had a roommate in college that had a gecko, And at the time, that was bizarre for me, I must admit. The thought of having a lizard in the living room wasn't exactly a thought north of Mexico that you would necessarily deal with. But it seems like there are more and more people that are evolving to the lizards and the snakes and the various reptiles, because they're fairly easy to maintain, they're neat to look at, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're not terribly expensive in terms of the ongoing maintenance of them, similar to dogs and cats, as an example.
Yeah, I think that probably if there's a shortcoming in the industry, it's less that there are opportunities out there for exotic animals. Our society is changing. We are much closer in our walls. We're next to each other much more often, and we oftentimes are finding ourselves without a backyard. And we also find ourselves in a situation where we need that companionship. So we've done a really good job, and we're not seeing a drop in the reptiles or the small animal department. We're actually seeing a growth in that section. But the problem is that it's becoming increasingly more difficult to really find a place to go that has, let's say, for instance, hamsters, gerbils, and such. I mean, Meijer's carried small animals for quite a few years, and they don't carry them anymore, you know, and with good reason. And I can understand not, because it's a very difficult venture. You know, it's a labor-intensive enterprise. So luckily, there are retailers out there that can do a good job and can provide living animals to people and exposure to those things. But there's a much bigger network of dogs and cats available. We know there's an extra surplus of dogs and cats available. And so there's always this latent energy of people that need companion animals and excess inventories of those animals out there that need adoption, if you will. So, but I think you're right. I think many, many places do a great job at really expressing their strengths of dogs and cats. And we try to be helpful in dog and cat department as well. But really, where we really excel in our industry is that we really focus on those exotic animals, or the more, the less understood care element. We really need to get a staff member with somebody if they're thinking about getting a gecko, because we want it to be a fun experience. And this gecko, you know, he has certain light needs and heat needs, and certain dietary needs, and that's totally foreign to somebody getting into it. Even if you saw one at the neighbor or a friend has one, to you, it's not like a dog or cat. It's something different. So there's definitely a learning curve going on, and a lot of receptivity to exotic animals.
If someone's interested in learning about these small animals, how would they go about learning about them and understanding them? Do you have people that can explain to them what life is like after you own them, so that you don't get that buyer's remorse and these animals unfortunately being mistreated and either turned away or unfortunately not living? How do you learn about these animals?
Well, some of these animals, you know, like a reptile animal, it may not even be that you ever take it out of the cage. So a lot of it falls upon the initial setup and setting up the right environment so that animal kind of really becomes that healthy animal that you just need to feed and provide an interactive environment in your home. And then curiosity takes over. The fish, that's the way as well. You don't have to walk your fish. It stays right there in your tank. But you do have to keep its environment doing well, and that requires something on. So when you're thinking about getting into those type of animals that are going to be within an enclosed environment, you want to think, you know, okay, what am I doing? How am I doing it? You know, what do I want to accomplish? The bird department's a whole different situation, which we can get more into, but that's where we are really dealing with companion animals.
This is Lee Cohen here with Rick Preuss with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. In a few minutes, we're going to be back, and we're going to talk about a regular segment, Rick, that we're going to do each week, meeting the various folks that are part of the rescue organizations, the Humane Society, the animal control groups. We'll talk about what role they play and what you can expect in weeks to come. We'll be right back on 1320 WILS.